May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to welcome first all of those who don't normally come here on a Sunday, and I hope we'll see more of you. And thanks to the delegation from the diocese, whether they are the thought police or the talent spotters, I'm not sure. I'm a little old for a talent spotter, but there you go. And for the contingent from Maple Ridge, who've been let out on a green chit by their lady priest to come and join in our celebration. So thanks very much to her. Sometimes Nico, my Rhodesian Ridgeback, for those of you who have not yet had the pleasure of meeting him, sometimes Nico gets thought block, or maybe it's thought obsession. He knows there's something else he's supposed to do, but the same thing just keeps repeating over and over and over in his head. Food, 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 food. I've been having my Nico moments this week. And the thought that keeps returning to me is water, water, water. Now, it's possible that's because we've had some very much needed rain in this last week, which has enabled me to escape having to water the church garden. But I think it may be more than that. For whatever reason, I'm going to try and go with this repetitive thought thing and see where the Spirit leads. And if you thought I was going to preach on the gospel, well, I'm afraid you're fresh out, because I did that last Sunday. And we don't want to be boring. And in fact, the message is exactly the same. I talked about inside and outside and what goes into a man and what comes out of him last Sunday. So if you want that sermon, go to our website where you can download it, or you can read it, or you can even listen to it on an MP3. Another reason I feel water is important is that we actually discussed it in relation to the love of God in our book club, which we have on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock this week. And I felt that the imagery that was being talked about was quite profound. Now, we frequently see pictures of beautiful still water, lovely lake, reflections, mirror-like surface, and something like the legend says, "Be still." Except for motorbikes. And that's good, and it's helpful for our meditative life, and it helps us to center down into the quietness of our souls and draw close to the God of our understanding. That's what I'm trying to do at the beginning when we light the candles, is to have time to meet with the God of our understanding. And that's a special and a precious place to be. But the vision I had this week was not of such a tranquil sea. The water I see today is busy. It's busy water. It's active. It's sparkling with energy and life. And nothing can stop it. As a child, I'm sure you would have played the game paper, scissors, stone, where you and an opponent count to three, and then you come out with a hand that forms one of the three. And whichever you produce, you either win or lose. So paper wraps stone, stone blunts scissors, and scissors cut paper. We all know this. But water defeats them all. It turns paper into mush, it rusts and blunts scissors, and eventually wears away stone or breaks it. And that seemingly most benign of elements is, in fact, the most powerful in nature. We've only to witness the devastation of a tsunami or the floods that have recently occurred in Europe. Even fishing in a river can be dangerous. As a friend of mine lost his footing on the bottom of a river when he was fly fishing, his thigh waders filled up with water, he was pulled under and drowned in moments. You don't mess with water. Norman Carroll, the author of one of the books we've read in our book club, and the author of this book, which is the next book we're going to read, The Wedding of Science and Religion. Anyway, you can always join us on Zoom, 4 o'clock Wednesdays. He was using the image of a river or stream of water to represent the love of God. It touches everything in its path, whether it's a grassy field or rocky rapids, and the topography of the stream bed represents our lives. So we could be in turmoil. We could be having huge stresses in our lives. We could be spinning in eddies, going round and round thinking, what on earth's happening to me? We could be crashing over boulders. We could be quietly flowing around peaceful bends. But the love of God never leaves us. It pervades everything and never stops flowing. I don't know what he's written in this book yet because I haven't cracked the cover. But my feeling is the love of God is like universal energy. You cannot turn it off. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. That is God to me. But there's a glitch in Norman's image, unfortunately, which is that a stream in our world has a beginning and it has an end. But the love of God has no beginning and no end. It's infinite and eternal, like energy. I recently saw a YouTube clip of a defense of belief in God being challenged by a rather smug atheist. It's funny how they often are, a little bit. He asked his fellow debater where God came from. The answer he got was, that's a silly question. Because if God came from somewhere, then he's immediately constrained by time, space, and matter, which would make him no greater than his creation. To say that God came from somewhere would immediately make your God too small. It's necessary to understand, insofar as our little minds can, that God is eternal and infinite, overarching everything, in everything, pervading everything. It's not our God that is too small. It's that our imagery is too limited. So, we must imagine a stream with no beginning and no end. Ezekiel chapter 47 describes a river coming out from under the threshold of the temple. Don't know where it started, out from underneath. And it gets deeper and deeper. And in his vision, Ezekiel's led by a man we can assume to be an angel or a messenger of God. And he says, son of man, do you see this? And he takes Ezekiel to the banks of the river where many different kinds of trees grow. And he tells him, their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. All positive stuff. The messenger also tells him that where the river meets the sea, the water will become fresh. All these images are, to my mind, demonstrations of the love of God. But it's never fair to take words out of context when we're talking about something as big and is often referenced as water. In Ezekiel 29, we read that God has him prophesy against Pharaoh, saying the Nile River will be a source of desolation and ruin. And Moses, before that, in Exodus, warns Pharaoh that the Nile will run with blood. Isaiah warns that the Nile will thin out and dry up. Not all images of rivers are life-giving. But we should turn to the New Testament after such a dose of Old Testament doom and gloom and look at all the positive ways in which rivers were used. And baptism is a useful start. Interestingly enough, back to the history of the church, the very first services that were done in this church were baptisms. And baptism is an extension of an older rite of ritual cleansing that we read about this morning, ritual cleansing. but by full immersion. That's called tvila in Jewish, Hebrew, whatever. If I've pronounced it wrong, any Hebrew scholars in the audience, sorry, congregation, are more than welcome to correct me afterwards. Which would, anyway, tvila would have been traditionally done in a mikveh, or a natural stream, okay? And the point being that the water is living, it's moving. It's not a basin full of static water. That's a shame, you know, our fonts should be running water, theoretically. So when they're having their ritual cleansing, water is poured over the hands. You don't dip into a basin of static water. They have to pour with a jug so the water is running, it's alive. And if full immersion is needed, then if a natural stream doesn't happen to be nearby, then a mikveh, or a bath of running water, is used. So you note here the Jewish need for running or living water. And this is exactly how Jesus refers to himself when he talks with a Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. But, and this is the exciting part, so those of you who are fast asleep, you can wake up for this bit. He says in John 7 that whoever believes in him, that's Jesus, that they, that person, from him or her, will flow streams of living water. That's you, Douglas, Helen, Fran. By which he meant his spirit. Now here's something for us to truly feast on. Not only does Jesus say that if we come to him, he will give us living water, but if we believe in him, then living water, his Holy Spirit, will flow from us. Now, if we return to the image of the river in Ezekiel that gives life to everything along its banks and everything within it, and then to the river, similar river, which is described in Revelation 22, and I quote, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb." The quote is so similar to the one in Ezekiel. What this shows us is that the source of the river,
towards me,
or of Norm Carroll's stream, is actually God himself. And that's why it has no beginning and has no end. So, get a bit excited here. So, now we have a real chance to do some good with these old but eternal images. We, that's you and I, access this water for ourselves. We can access this water. All we have to do is approach Jesus in faith, and the water of life is ours. But you knew there was one, didn't you? There's always a but. But it's busy water. It cannot stay still. It has a job to do. It has to keep on flowing. James told us in our epistle that we must be doers and not just readers and listeners and hearers. Our water has to go on flowing out to other people to give them life. We have to give it away. And we can, because we're constantly replenished by the source, which is God himself in Jesus, an unending flow of living water. You won't find any other religion or doctrine that will give you a gift like this. Nowhere. And it's an offer of eternal love for you and for you to pass on to all with whom you come into contact, as Jesus did. Remember, we are his hands and his feet and his tongue and his heart here on earth. That is a big commission. But hey, nothing beats the power of living water. Be busy.